Thankful to see each of you here this day. Thankful to see those of you that were away from us, home, safe and sound. And as we come, you know, our brother who's going to speak to us today is no stranger. Certainly someone who's been in my life, my entire life. And I'm thankful for that. And I know that he's sincere and earnest when he has the opportunity to stand before you. And so I'm going to let him bring the message of the hour, our brother, Elder Jim Gates.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning to each and every one of you. Good to see you here. First off, I would like to talk about God's hand and God's plan. We talked about it in Sunday school, a little bit how God has directed things on the macro scale, where he put nations in place and very powerful people within nations to guide and direct situations to where he can achieve his will and his ultimate accomplishment. And the things that he wants to do. And Joel talked about things that happen in the micro within his life. Today happened to be one of those micro things for me in my life 29 years ago. I got married. And it is her steady hand in my life to help me be here today. Now, after my sermon, you may all wish that hadn't happened because Joel informed me I have 2 hours in which to deliver my message, Joel time. So we'll see how this plays out, if it's Joel time or if it's Jim Gates Senior time. We're not really sure. But I feel that God did give me a message to deliver, and it's been one that's been formulating over several weeks, if not longer. And I would like to start in Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, and read 2 verses. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. It says, "Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I think God impressed upon his servants of old to deliver the scriptures for a reason. And as I look around what's going on in the world today and past events in the past few weeks, I am a firm believer that we are at war. And there's things that we must prepare for. And God is preparing his church for something. What it is, I don't know. But I have a feeling that we're going to be assaulted in all manners of different ways. And we need to make ourselves ready and make sure our armor is on. Study and know how to use the different parts of your armor for defense, for attack. For protection. Because the rulers of darkness and of spiritual wickedness are out there. And just like God uses things and people to achieve his goal, the enemy does the same thing. Revelation, the 12th chapter. Verses 7 through 12. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. And I want you to latch on to the word accuser. I put a square box around it. Not only is this scripture highlighted, but I put a square box around it. You have an accuser. If you say that I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and my desire is to do His will, you have an accuser that's standing before God and in your face to tell you why you can't be there and why you cannot trust in the arm of God and why God should not accept you. He's standing there accusing. And he is our accuser. And he's mighty. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by their love, not and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil which come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He came here angry. Alma, the 19th chapter, page 450. 66th and 67th verse. And it is requisite with the justice of God that men should be judged according to their works. And that's a whole other sermon in and of itself. And if their works were good in this life, and the desires of their heart were good, then they should also at the last day be restored unto that which is good. But if their works are evil, they shall be restored unto him for evil. Therefore all things which are restored to their proper order, everything is to its natural frame. Mortality raised to immortality. Corruption to incorruption. Raised to the endless happiness to inherit the kingdom of God. Or to endless misery to inherit the kingdom of the devil. There are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms. And I remembered in literature, in high school, I had to read a book by Charles Dickens called Tale of Two Cities, and I hated it. To me, it was dark and dumb. But it was about a city in France and the people of it, and then the people in London. And this lawyer from England went to this other city to represent Aristocats. I like that movie too. In front of his accusers. So I am going to call my sermon today A Tale of Two Kingdoms and Their Leaders. And I'm going to compare and contrast the leaders of these two kingdoms. And I've already called one of them the accuser. I've already painted him in kind of a bad light. But it's going to get worse. And I want you to understand, on one hand, who the enemy is, who this accuser is. And on the other hand, I want you to see who your lawyer and defender is within the kingdom of God. So first off, we're going to start with Isaiah in the 14th chapter. Reading verses 12 to 14, Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did wicked the nation? We read about that battle in Revelation. We were told that when he hit here with great wrath, that it weakened the nation. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation. In the side of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Very selfish. I will accomplish. I will do this. His whole outlook on his very persona is, I will be selfish. I have a hard time when I was on the fire department. Some captains that I worked for had this very attitude, and they were extremely hard to work with, to work for. Because everything that his crew accomplished, even without him being on the truck, was him. Always about him. That is Satan's idea. It is always about him and what he will accomplish. Always. The contrast. Turn with me over to Philippians. The second chapter. Verses 6 to 8. Just start in 5. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. So we know who we're talking about. This mindset that he's talking about. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You see the difference already forming? All I can accomplish, all that I will, to how can I help? The form of a servant. The form of a servant, it was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient. The Book of Mormon, Mosiah, page 251. Mosiah, the 8th chapter, verses 34 to 37. Yea, even so he shall be led, crucified and slain, the flesh becoming subject even unto death, the will of the Son being allowed to be swallowed up in the will of the Father. Humility. Be willing to submit. All these traits that I will be talking about are something for us to try to apply to our lives. And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained the victory over death, given the Son power to make intercession for the children of men. Having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion towards the children of men, standing between them and justice, having broke the bands of death, taken upon himself their iniquities and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. He did the will of the Father. Not self-aggrandizing, humble, doing the will of the Father. Being willing to stand for his children. Being willing to accept the consequences of the sin of those that are very undeserving. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 23 these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Not only did he become subject to God's hand, but he was willing to stand by his creation, us, to lead us. As a shepherd, to guide and direct us in our paths. To be by the calm, still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his sake. Yea, I will, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Will he correct us? Yes. He'll say, don't go there. But it's our decision. God has given us the free will to pick and choose which kingdom we want to be in. To pick and choose which path we want to go. But if he is our shepherd, we are his sheep. And I can tell you, as a kid growing up on the rim, watching the sheep, if there was one that was bullheaded and ran off, it became sickly. One, it couldn't find good food. Two, it couldn't find good water. Three, it had no rest because the wolves, meaning those that want, not the wolves themselves, but the enemy, the mountain lions, the coyotes, the wild dogs, tried to devour it, just as Satan will try to devour us if we stray. He is our good shepherd, and he will try to do all that he can to help us in our paths. Second point. Turn over into John, the 8th chapter. Verses 43 to 47. Jesus is in the middle of a conversation with the Pharisees, I believe here. And he says this to say to them. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Every kingdom and every country has its own language, has its own syntax, has its own mannerisms. If you pluck me up and set me down in a foreign country, if they don't speak English, I'm at a loss because I can't communicate. Neither can those of Satan's kingdom communicate with us, or vice versa, if it was not for the power of God. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We have Christ, who is a good shepherd, that wants to lead us and direct us. And we have Satan with his attitude and the things he do, his selfishness, as a murderer and a liar and the father of all of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. It makes it hard to hear God calling if you're not listening for it. It makes it hard to follow his guidance and direction if you're too busy looking for signals from somewhere else. Once again, we have to decide which kingdom we want to walk in, which kingdom we want to do, and to represent. 2 Nephi, page 106. Sixth chapter, 2 Nephi, verses 21 to 24. K. continuing about Satan's attitude. And our spirits must become like unto him, and we will become devils, angels to a devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God, and to remain with the father of lies in misery like unto himself. Yea, to the being who beguiled our first parents. The being who beguiled our first parents. And how did he do so? Just to push the point of the lie. Surely God did not mean you will die if you eat of the fruit. Half truth. Who transformed itself nigh into the light of an angel, and stirreth up the children of men into secret combinations of murder and all manner of secret works of darkness. Oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape from the grasp of this awful monster. So God, we see it appearing again. An opposite. One that works in darkness and one that has prepared a way for salvation for his children. One who doesn't care specifically about your welfare to one that does care about your welfare. Ether, page 721. Ether, the first chapter, verses 72 to 75, speaking of Christ and the Lord. This is where Christ is speaking with the brother Jared, and we take up in the middle of their conversation. The Lord said unto him, because of thy faith thou hast seen that I shall take upon me flesh and blood. And never has man come before me with such exceeding faith as thou hast. For were it not so, ye would not have been able to see my finger. Sawest thou more than this? And he answered, nay, Lord, show thyself unto me. And the Lord said unto him, believest thou the words which I shall speak? And he answered, yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth, for thou art a God of truth. And cannot lie. The God of truth, he cannot lie. If he lied, he would cease to be God, the scriptures tell us. He's unchangeable. Both leaders of these two kingdoms are unchangeable. One doesn't want to change, he wants to be self-grandizing. One won't change and can't change because he wants to be the servant, the intermediary. Back in Psalms in 86th chapter. One verse, verse 15. David says this in a prayer. But thou, O God, art a God, full of compassion and graciousness, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering. It's by His long-suffering in dealing with the children of men that allows us to be here today. Because of His mercy, He sent His only begotten Son to be that immediate intercessor for us. And He's full of truth. The third thing about our adversary is we find in 2 Nephi on page 147. Second Nephi, the 11th chapter, 93rd to 94th verse. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the foundation of all these things, yea, the foundation of murder and of dark works. The dark works. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he can bind them with his strong cords forever. He will bind us where God will call and coax. Satan will bind you in chains. He will lie and put flaxen cords to start you to lead until he can bind you with a heavy chain. But I don't want to be despaired there, because Christ can break that chain. There's nothing that any of us can do save denying the Holy Ghost that will separate us from the presence of God if we decide to do it. If we decide to change our path of walking and following after Satan, Christ will accept those that want to leave that kingdom and come into His. And because He's full of mercy and long-suffering, He will greet them with open arms. But one of Satan's lies during that time is, you have been so bad, you cannot go there. They will not accept you. That's what Satan says, but that's not what Christ does. And I'll read a scripture here in a minute that will show you what I mean. Staying in the same scripture, we talk about the opposite now. We talk about God and His Christ. For behold, my beloved brother, I say unto you that the Lord worketh not in darkness. He doth nothing save it be for the benefit of the world. For He loved the world even that He laid down His own life, that He may draw all men unto Him. Wherefore He commanded none that they should not partake of His salvation. Open arms. Come unto me. James, first chapter. Verses 16 and 18, James 1, 16 and 18. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. If you are a father of lights and you're full of light, you cannot work in darkness. That's why a candle, the slightest flame, can add light to a whole room. Cannot be a worker of darkness because he is a father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. There is no darkness in him, none whatsoever. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Because Christ came and laid down his life for the children of men, he can make this statement. Can make this call. Ho, everyone that is thirsty is coming to the water. And he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delighteth itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sheer mercies of David. An everlasting covenant. You're willing to accept it. Come, everyone that thirst. Yea, come to the water. Come unto him. He's not going to let us buy our way into heaven. It is by his grace that we are saved. Do we do works? Yes. Do we keep his commandments, our works? Yes. Baptism? Follow his example? Be the things that you see him emulate to us. In Matthew, you know, I've read this verse 100 times. I will have to read it again because it is one of my favorite. 11th chapter. To the 30th verse. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's there to help us. He is our good shepherd. He's there to guide and direct us. And when we're weak, to pick us up like a good shepherd does and carry us. To heal our wounds. To be a good general, to allow us to fix our armor. And to rest. To get ready to get back into battle. He is calling. He earned that right. He gave us the right to accept. And we must accept. One or the other. Decide. You can't serve two masters. The scriptures tell us we will love one and hate the other. You can't do both. You have to accept one or the other. And you have to follow one or the other. So the question is, which one do you want to follow? The one that's a murderer and a liar and is self-built up? Or the one that is meek and mild and willing to lend a helping hand? One that was willing to sacrifice himself? That you can stand before God and have somebody there with you, a mediator. Lawyer, pleading your case. Revelation 20 happens to be my last scripture. As we saw on the screen for those of the adult class, how the empires fell. But there always was a little remnant that tried to rebuild. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, we read this of Satan's kingdom here on earth. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and his false prophets are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan's kingdom will be busted off this land, off the earth. Christ will rule. But Satan will have his little kingdom in a lake somewhere. And for all those who chose to be stewards of his kingdom, and followers of his kingdom will be there with him. Choose you this day who you will serve, is what the scriptures tell us. And that is a daily decision that we have to make. Choose whom we're willing to serve. I thank you for your time.